So today, we take a look at the story. And this is one of my favorite stories. And in this story, we will see the way back to God. And the story took place somewhere in the Middle East. And Jesus tells the story to the people when they were complaining that he spends time and eats with sinners. That is the context. And Jesus wants to tell them what God is like, what grace is like. And he begins by telling the story about the father who had two sons. And the story goes well. They grew up and they were both serving well his father. Their father. They were working hard in the field. But one day, the younger son begins to think about the world. And he said to himself, why would I stay here all my life? It's very boring. I just have to work every day. Why would I not have a better life? Life of freedom. And one day, he gathers all the courage that he could get and comes to his father. And he says, Father, give me what is coming to me. Give me what belongs to me. Give me a portion of your property. Is this a usual question? Dr. Ken Bailey, one of the experts in Bible history, as he lived in Lebanon, he would travel through the Muslim countries and he would ask this question from people from Morocco to India, from Turkey to Sudan. The question was, have you ever heard that the son ever asked such a question from his father? No, never, was the answer through all these countries. Why? Why it never happened? And the answer would be, the request of the son means that he wants his father to die. Because the property was never divided. The money was never given to the son before the death of the father. And the question would be, what would then happen if somebody would ask this question? The answer was, the father would beat him up. At one occasion, I was in the church and sharing this story, and I asked the fathers, what would you do if your son comes to you and ask that you share the inheritance that supposed to come to him when you die? One father stood up, I would beat him up. He comes from different culture. But the point was the same. No one of us, especially parents, would even consider doing something like this. Would you? Have you ever been asked a substantial amount of money when you know that person will spend and waste that money? But here is the point. The point is about the father. There is no such a father in the world because this is our heavenly father. And our heavenly father extravagantly, generously gives to those who don't deserve it. And that's who we are. And the father, in a rush, he goes and sells the property. And he as soon as spring comes, I get a cold. Expecting that during winter I'm very well dressed. When spring comes, I'm glad, you know. So the father gives him whatever the son requested. It is very interesting to notice that the Father respects the law of liberty. And we mentioned sometimes in the past, it is the foundation of heaven and earth. Our God, the Father, He respects our choices that we make. And He accepts what we make as a decision. And the Father here gives the Son whatever He requested. And the Bible tells us that the Son went to the far land and He wasted all that He received in prodigal living. You can only imagine His life. But one day, it happened that He wasted all of that. And we read in Luke chapter 15, from verse 13. The Bible says, He wasted it all. He had nothing left. Thank you. He got desperate and hungry. Thank you so much. And thirsty. And finally, Bible says, He came to His senses. He finally realized what He is doing. Usually, we do not want to change until we get desperate. When we finally realize there is nothing I can do. The life has become uncontrollable. I can do nothing. And we try everything before that. Finally, Son came to His senses because He became desperate. He says, I cannot live this way anymore. Number one step, as you can take a look in your outline, number one step in coming back to God or coming close to God is you get fed up with your life. I'm tired. I cannot control it anymore. I want to change. And you can see people around until they get to the point that they don't have a way out. When they are facing court, when they are facing a hospital, when they are facing loss of family, somehow we finally get to realize, I cannot live this way anymore. Have you come in your life to the desperate point when you say, I cannot live this anymore? If you haven't, it's good. You can turn to God anyhow. You can give your life back to Him. Wherever you are, because God doesn't want you to go through a tough time. But number one thing is we have to realize our great need. Without God, we can do nothing. Even Jesus says, I can do nothing without my Father. It's good to remember that we need Him. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, God says, you will find me when you get serious about finding me. And when you want it more than anything else. That's the Message translation. In our New King James Bible, it says, you will find me when you look for me with all your heart. When you want me more than anything else. As you remember the Greek philosopher, when the student came and he wanted to become his disciples, and the philosopher took him to water and he plunged his head into the water and he kept him there. And finally, when he was so desperate for air and he let him go, he said, until you want truth, as you want breath, next breath, you come to me and I will teach you. Somehow, until we really want God in our lives, we are willing to turn to Him and begin the journey of coming back to Him. This is the story of a prodigal son. But I prefer the story of prodigal father. Because father is amazing here. He is wasting all his property for the son who will waste all of that. He is extravagantly generous God. Actually, during all this time, you can imagine you fathers or mothers, your son or daughter leaving house and not coming for a long time. How do you feel? What would you do? My good friend, Dave Thompson, a Lutheran pastor, he told us the story that in 2007, after his wife and her had dinner with their daughter. She left, never to come back. Every night, they're on internet. They're searching, hoping that Chrissy will come back. And you can imagine the pain, and you can just feel the pain when he shared with us as we prayed for him and his wife. She's gone. Can you imagine suffering love that father experiences as he waits for the son to come back? That is our God. Not only that our God is extravagant God, he is also suffering God, who is suffering because he wants the son and daughter to come back. He wants us to come back to him. And you can see what comes next when son finally come to his senses. What do you do next? Next thing is you own up to your sin. Because we find here when he came to his senses, he said, I have sinned against God and you. He finally took responsibility for his life. It's not anymore somebody else's fault. He says, it's me, God. It's me, Father. I'm aware what I have done because it was the sin of the Son that separated him from God. And you remember, even Bible tells us in Isaiah 59:2, your sins have separated you from your God and have hidden his face from you. When we are far away from God, it's not about God. It's about us. We made choice to go away from him. We took our own way and we want to control our lives the way we want it. But God says, come back to me and I will accept you. And here is the prayer of David when we come to realize our sin and he comes to realize what he has done. He prays this prayer. Be merciful to me, O God, because of your constant love. Because of your great mercy, wipe away my sins. Wash away all my evil and make me clean. I recognize my faults and I'm conscious that I've sinned against you. David was an honest man before God. He would not wait one second when he was convinced of his sin. He came to God acknowledging and asking God to forgive him because of his mercy, not because he deserves. And here is the story of a son who came to realize his sin and he goes back to his father. And he goes back on a journey back to his father, not knowing what to expect. He didn't know that the father is like God. And the God says, no matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can remove it. I can make you as clean as a freshly fallen snow, was the promise of God through prophet Isaiah. No matter how bad your life can be, no matter what you have done in your life, if you come back to him, you can know that God accepts you. Actually, we studied not so long ago that God is searching for us. There is a double longing. He goes to meet with us as he waits for us to turn toward him. And as soon as the son chose to come back, he was on the way back. He came to realize his desperate condition. He decided to own up to his responsibility, to acknowledge honestly that I have sinned against you, Father, and God. And here comes the beautiful story. He returned to his father saying, make me a servant. If the first step is when you are fed up with your life, and the second is you begin to own up and take responsibility, God, I am willing to confess. I am willing to acknowledge. The third step is here. I offer up myself and my life to God. I said, God, make me a servant. As you look through the story, in the beginning, son says, God, Father, give me what belongs to me. At the end, he comes back and he said, make me a servant. Take me. Do whatever you want to do with my life. That is the third step. Many of us are at this step here. We decided to give our life to God. And we said, God, make me a servant. What do you want me to do for you? In the coming weeks, we are going to encourage every one of us to use our gifts to serve others in the church, in the community. Whatever God gave you as a gift, it's your gift that you can use it for Him. And here is the point. When you come to realize that God made you for Himself and to be blessing to others, you come and you give yourself, offer yourself as a servant. But that's not the final step. There are many servants in the church today. But then there are not many sons. And here is the point. You will see in a moment what happened. But you think for a moment, we need to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. And then, as we continue to grow, it is the process that God transformed us and make us in His image. As Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we reflect the Lord's glory and are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We cannot be changed overnight, but Bible tells us as we continue to behold the glory of the Father, as we continue to look at the life of Jesus and see what God is like, the Spirit of God is changing us from step to step, from character to character, from glory to glory. And that is what we can expect from the Son when He comes back home. And here comes our text, the main text for our study in the coming weeks. Because of God's mercy, because God is merciful to you, Romans 12, 1 and 2, offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Worship is what? When we give ourselves to God as a response to His grace, to what He has done for us. And then, do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is the process. We take a step back to God, and He takes over. He leads us to the next step. And here comes the final step. But before the final step, we need to recognize and see the whole picture what God is like. In the Middle East, when son leaves the community, he cannot come back. If he comes back, he can expect the mob, the crowd, the villager, people from the village to beat him up. He would have to experience shame because of what he has done to the family and to the people of the tribe. He is not welcome back. And the son knows in the story. He knows what can he expect when he comes back. Shame. He can be in danger, physical danger. And he knows that. But he says, no matter what, I have to go back home. I don't have a choice. And here comes the beauty of the story, the amazing grace of God. And we read together. When father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion, he ran out to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And he said, bring the best for my son. When father saw son coming down from the valley, he ran out of the house, he went through the village, and he embraced his son. He took the shame that son supposed to receive as he was running through the village. A noble man, according to philosopher Aristotle, never runs in the public. In the Middle East, adult man never runs in the public. It is a shame. As one of my professors was teaching in Lebanon, he was observing one day on the highway in Beirut, he saw adult, elderly Arab walking over the street, over the highway. And he was walking slowly with dignity. And he saw the car coming. And he didn't move faster. He lost the life. Because honor is more important than life. And that is example why this act of the Father is amazing. It is self-sacrificial, humiliating act of the Father who runs down to embrace the Son. He embraces Him and says, "You are accepted, you are welcome, you are a son again." And He took shame upon Himself. And so Son came back home, not as a servant, but as Son. Because in the house there was already one servant who served his father as a good servant. And he would say, "Father, I have done this for you all our my life. I have served you. And I deserve it that you give me a feast." But the story tells us about the love of God. It is the act of the Father who runs and experiences shame in behalf of His Son that actually was the act which transformed servant into a son. You and I can only become sons when we understand the depth of the love of God. Unless we see what God has done in Jesus, when He walked, carrying the cross and taking our shame on the cross for us, then when we begin to look that and behold that glory of God, that grace, that enable us, that we finally become sons and daughters of God, because God is God who is willing to sacrifice Himself, that we can come back to Him. In the story of prodigal son, we see what God is like. We see that only after demonstration of the love of the Father, he has become true son again. And that is why today we look at the fourth step. What happened next? We lift up our praise when Father expressed this beautifully. We are going to celebrate with a feast of eating and drinking. Because our son, my son, was lost, but now he is found. So the party begins. The last step on the journey with God, after we make ourselves available to Him, and after we realize what He is like, we lift up our praise. We praise God. We thank Him for what He has done. We begin to sing, as Bible says, sing to the Lord, sing praises to His name. Lift up a song to Him. His name is the Lord. Today, we were able to see the steps of Son coming back to His Father. He was fed up. He chose to own up his sin. And then He offered up Himself to God and He says, "Make me a servant." And finally, when you come to the point to get to know really God, your life becomes a praise, thanksgiving to what He has done in your life in Jesus, through Jesus. So today, God's invitation for us is, come back to me. And once we get to know Father, what He's like, we would choose to go back. And whatever steps you are in, doesn't matter. You don't even follow. You don't have to follow the order that is here. You can start praising God today. Even today as we finish, we will sing to His name. And we are invited to sing praises to His name. And lift up Him in our songs because He is a good God. Because of what He has done for us. Changes take place in our life when we respond to God, to His message. Unless we choose to respond, nothing takes place. And today, whatever God is calling you to do, whatever would be your response, you take a next step with God. And when we listen to the last song, Who Am I?, a special musical presentation that is specially encouraging, telling us how we are valuable to God, you can take a moment to reflect and prayerfully consider what God wants you to do. And if you like to take a next step with God, even on welcome card, you can indicate. And everyone should write your name or email, because in the coming days we are going to receive the devotionals that will help us on this journey with Jesus. But whatever God wants you to do, remember, we do this in the light of His grace. And I'm going to finish with the story of a mother, because today we remember also mothers. Maria was a special mother. And when her daughter Christina left her home, went to the city because she was tired of living a boring life in her village, mother decided to follow after her. On the way there, she stopped at the booth where she made pictures of herself. And she made a lot of those pictures, photos. And she took those and she went through the city of Rio, leaving the photos, picture of herself everywhere, hoping that her daughter Christina would one day find it and come back home. She wasted many days, left these pictures, and then she went back home. One day, Christina was coming down the stairs of the hotel where she was staying when she noticed the picture there at the mirror of the lobby. She came close and she saw the picture of the mother, her mother, and she noticed the words written there. No matter what you have done, no matter what you have become, it does not matter. Come home. And she did. Today is good to remember as we pause for a moment that the message of the Bible is the message of the Father who tells us no matter what we have done, not matter what you have become, no matter where you are, it doesn't matter. Come home. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. It's the song that we are going to sing together at the end. Let's praise His name. On the way out, you're welcome to give your welcome cards if you want to fill out information and give to me. Whatever God is calling you, you're welcome to take a next step with Him. But at this time, we are going to praise God with a song, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling.